All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 15, Psalm 15. Psalm 15, I'd like to look at the five verses found in this blessed psalm. The Holy Spirit moved upon David, the psalmist, to ask the weightiest of all questions. Here's the question right here. Verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now that's a question that's going to take some revelation. David is not moved to ask a man, but rather he asked Jehovah. He asked the Lord. If I ask a man, I might get the wrong answer. And for me to rest my soul on the wrong answer is eternally damning to my soul. Now there's a lot of denominations and therefore a lot of answers to that question, and I need the truth. I want the truth, and I realize that only the Lord knows the answer to that question. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of John, in his high priestly prayer, praying, said this unto the Father. John 17:6-8, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest to me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they've received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. So the Lord is saying, I've told the men that you gave me out of the world. He was speaking at that right point right there, specifically of his disciples. But he speaks of all of his people, to whom he's revealed himself, revealed the Father. I gave them what you gave me. As the prophet of God, I've revealed unto them your name. Matthew 11:25-26, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So the psalmist is asking a question that covers time and eternity. He asks concerning the character of the men and women that are going to be on this earth, and what is going to be their state on this earth now, and what's going to be their state in glory. That's what he's asking. Lord, who shall abide, that is, sojourn, temporarily be found to dwell, or dwell for a time? Who are going to be found to be in thy tabernacle? Now, a tabernacle is a place of temporary. The tabernacle in the wilderness was a tent. It was taken, disassembled, and it was reassembled by the priest, and They would, you know, they moved. Whenever the Lord moved, the pillar moved, the pillar of a fire moved, they moved. It was a tabernacle, a temporary dwelling place. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who's going to be found in your church upon the earth? And also, who's going to dwell, that is, remain, continue, be established? He says, in thy holy hill, in Jerusalem, which is above, the glorified church, the church triumphant. Psalm 3, verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. So David is asking something. It's the Lord, I'm asking you, who? Who is going to be found with these distinguishing marks? There's a lot of professors in the tabernacle, in the church below. The scripture reveals that there's tares among the wheat. We know that. We know that. Some within the body on this earth, some truly know the Lord and some don't. And we know that from scripture. The Lord has set that forth. But here's what David wants to know. Lord, who? Who is it? Who is going to temporarily be on this earth, found in your congregation, and shall also dwell in your holy hill? Who's going to be found in heaven? That's what he's asking. Who's going to be in heaven? And the Lord answers. And let's do his answer, verse 2. Now here's going to be those that are found in heaven. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Lord, who is going to be found now in your church that also will be dwelling eternally in your holy hill? Well, he that walketh uprightly, he that walks without blemish, he that walks perfectly, he that also worketh righteousness, who does right, perfectly right, before God and men. I hold your place if you want to. If you want to turn here, Exodus chapter 20. I found some scriptures here that sets forth. This is the ones that's going to be found in heaven. Exodus chapter 20, and I'll just go and I'll just read a few of the verses here. In Exodus chapter 20. In verse 3, those that will be found in heaven are going to be obedient to these commands. Look at verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. No crosses, no fish to, you know, hang on your lapel, you know, no angels, no. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Meaning, you will never say one thing that is a disparaging, disrespectful word against God. Out of your mouth, out of your heart, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Nothing in word, thought, or deed. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Not just outwardly, but in your heart. If you hate somebody, you killed them. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I've never done that. Oh, really? Never in your heart. Never. You've never, not one time. Not never. Okay. Well, good. Thou shalt not steal. Not only outward, inwardly. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Anything that doesn't belong to you. Never. Never. Okay, so if you want to know who is going to be found, not only here dwelling temporarily, but in heaven, that one that walks perfectly, no deviation, that one that worketh righteousness, he's perfect. He's perfect. Obedient, obedient, obedient. And speaketh the truth in his heart. Truth is the very substance of his heart. Verse 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. He he's not a talebearer. He's never repeated anything that he's ever heard that was in a way of slander or laying a charge to anybody with his tongue. It's one that doesn't do or think anything hurtful or unkind to another person. One that never receives. He's never heard anything about somebody else and accepted it and listened to it. But every time that he ever had someone say something about somebody else, he immediately stopped him. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I will not hear it. He doesn't support it. He doesn't sustain that reproach. A disgraceful thing said about someone else. The one that's going to be found in heaven is going to be the one who possesses such a character as to never show respect. Listen to verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Here's what he's saying. He never shows respect to anybody that because of their rank or wealth or something like that, he never shows any favoritism toward them at the expense of somebody else that's not as wealthy or you know connected or whatever. He never allows any fleshly lust to get the best of him. He never has the cares of this world draw him away. He never lets anything slide. It's right or it's wrong. And whatever's right, he's totally for it. Whatever's wrong, he never looks the other way. Never even in his heart. Always honors those that are believers. That's what verse 4 said. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned. Don't care who he is. Don't care who he is. If he's done anything wrong, he's wrong. We don't know. There's no plea bargaining. But he honors them that fear the Lord. He's going to take Lazarus' side against the rich. Rich man that fared sumptuously every day. He's going to take Lazarus' side, who had the dogs to lick his wounds, and the man that fared sumptuously every day, He's going to be, you know, he's wrong. He honors them that fears the Lord. He honors those. He honors those that are found to be the recipients of God's mercy. And verse 5 says he putteth not out his money to usury, unjust gain. He never profits at all at someone else's expense. And he never, the scripture says, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He's not bribed or swayed, not just as a judge, but just in any way, he's not swayed against the innocent. Again, like a while ago, never looks the other way. He that doeth these things, last part, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Well, what's it going to take to be in heaven? You're going to have to be perfect. Perfect. Never deviated. Never. Not any time in the past. Not now, or not in the future either. Never. That's what it's going to take. Let me ask you something. At this point, which man or woman regenerated by the grace of God can say anything else but, woe is me. I am undone. You're going to say like Isaiah, I live in the midst. Not only my lips are unclean, but I live in the midst of people whose mouth is unclean. There's one of whom this can be said is so. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer hears what the law says. Paul the Apostle said, you that desire to live by the law, to have a free will, make your choice, and say of yourself, I have done this, I've given my heart, I have. You that desire to be under, do you hear what the law says? I wanted to go through those verses to make sure we understood what was being said. When David asked, Lord, who's going to do it? What's going to be their character? Okay, here it is. You want to know? This is it. The Apostle Paul, who said, and every believer agrees with Paul, Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, he says, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Not that there's even a resemblance of these five verses. Not even that there's a hint of those five. Somebody said, well, I know I'm not perfect. No, I know you're not either. And I'm not either. I know that. The scripture bears that out. We're not even close. Well, I'm closer than others. No, we're not. There's none good. Not one. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, I dwell no good thing. For to will is present with me. Now every believer will admit that. Would I be this in myself if I could? If I could, yes, but I can't. How to perform that which is good, I find not. But I've got some good news. Here's the good news. Being found in the Lord Jesus Christ, being robed in His righteousness, with His obedience imputed, charged to us, these things before God are so. They're so. Galatians 2:16 says this, knowing that a man is not justified. Now, again, what does that mean? Justified. You've heard many times. I've brought this up before. Justified. People will try to define justified. Justified. They say it's just as if I'd not sinned. Well, that means you still have. That means you're trying to say that I know that I have sinned, but God just looks at me as if I had not. There's an old man that does nothing but sin. There's not even up for debate. But there's a new man that sinneth not. And they are as different as light and darkness, night and day. There's no compromise. They're not half and half. There's two men. There's two new men. There's two men. One new man, one old man. Knowing that a man is not justified, he's not innocent, he's not righteous, he's not just before God by the works of the law. What does that mean? By something you did. I got baptized. I walked down the aisle. I gave my heart to Jesus. I exercised faith. If that is what you're trusting in, those are evidences. Those are responses of what the Lord has done for His people. They are not the source of salvation. You said, well, I was saved by faith. No, you weren't. You were saved by grace. Through faith, you know it. It wasn't yours. It's given unto you, believe. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. His faith. Charged to the account of His people. Even we have believed in Christ. We believed in Him, Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now listen. The Lord Jesus Christ alone came into this world and walked perfectly before God. Without spot, without blemish. Only the Lord of Himself, could it be said, was without guile, without hypocrisy. He knew no sin. He was made sin, but He was not a sinner. He was not a sinner. There's a big difference between being made sin and being a sinner. I've told you this so many times. A sinner is one that is disobedient. And He was never disobedient. He obediently was made sin. The Scripture declares that the Lord asked those that accused Him. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? Which of you can bring forth proof of sin in my life or corruption in my doctrine? Which of you convinceth me of sin? Of Him it is said, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Christ alone, one man only, one man fulfilled these scriptures that I just read in Psalm 15. One man. He alone worked righteousness, justice. He said of Himself, I do always those things that please Him. Five records are given in the different Gospels of when the Father said of the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Only the Lord Jesus Christ continually spoke the truth in His heart. He is the truth. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Apart from Him, we've all missed the mark. There's none that can claim anything of righteousness before God apart from Him. We've all come short of the glory of God. We're all as an unclean thing. He never slandered. He never did backbite, bore a tale. He did no evil. He was never found to be a respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. The scripture declares, the Lord speaking, said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. If where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, bow to me, come to me, him will my Father honor. Listen to the honor, the blessing bestowed upon those that fear the Lord. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, I'll just read these for you. This is that Beatitudes, blessed. These are the blessed people. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those that realize what they are. You're blessed. You're blessed when you realize your helplessness. Blessed. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn over themselves, over what they see, continually see in themselves. They shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the submissive. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. His, ours is but filthy rags. Righteousness. For they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. If we stop right there and say, well, I've been persecuted. He's not done. Speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For the stand that you take for the gospel. For the truth. Blessed. Blessed. That's the marks of those that God's done something from. Only of the Lord Jesus Christ could it be said that He never deviated from the purpose of His Father. The covenant of grace that He entered into back in Psalm 15 in verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but He honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt, He entered into a covenant of grace to redeem His people from their sins. And that which He swore to, He swore to His own hurt. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but He honoreth them that fear the Lord. He sweareth to His own hurt. He suffered and died for the good of His people. And changeth not. Malachi 3:16. I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's why you're not consumed. Because I don't change. Only of the Lord. Could it be said that when He was reviled, He stood before Pilate and was ridiculed, and what did Scripture say? He opened not His mouth. Man, I tell you, I've heard people, you have too, I've heard people say something about me, and I'm telling you, I'm the first one to defend myself. Do I take it patiently? No. Do I take it with a bad attitude? Yes, I take it with a bad attitude. There's no good thing in any of us. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who chose the the poor of this world to be rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, while sending away or leaving to themselves those who were rich and trusted in themselves and their richness that they were righteous. In closing, let me ask you something. What does the scripture say concerning procuring life eternal according to the merit of another? This is all my hope. That's what David said. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. We give him the sacrifice of praise. But what do we do? Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, ye have nothing with which to buy. Come ye, buy and eat. Come ye, buy wine and milk without money, without price. My question is this. According to Psalm 15, and hearing that which is demanded to temporarily sojourn in this world of in the church, be found among God's people, and then to dwell in eternity with the Lord. What's it going to take? I just read it, and I can't do it. Without him, I'm sunk. I have nothing. How are these things so? I'm going to read a scripture that I've quoted so many times. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, the Father, hath made him sin. To be is in italics. He hath made him sin for us. He has borne our sins. They were made to be his own. They became his sins. He bore them in his own body. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now just the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, trusting the flesh, depending on the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. You start thinking about the demands of God, the demands of God's law. That's a heavy burden that we can't bear. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. For your soul. Lord, save this sinner. This sinner that comes and comes and comes afresh, ever coming, save me for your glory and my eternal good. Amen. All right, let's